neighborhood to live in, and you can ask my neighbors behind me, because people want to be able to live and work and not use their cars. They'd like to be able to just walk or bike to their places of employment. This building's an office building, and it fits well in the context of the Pearl. Right now, there's quite a bit of residential development. In fact, a lot of residential in the Pearl District. And being an office building, this complements the residential with commercial to allow people to live and work together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The last person I show is Ian McVersey.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hi. My name's Ian McKenzie. I'm an architect, although I have no involvement with this project. I'm a resident of Northwest Portland and a former resident of the Pearl. And I love the Northwest 13th Avenue Historic District. It's one of the most beautiful historic districts in the city. I walk along the street almost every week, and if I thought this building placed the district in any jeopardy, I would be here speaking to you on the other side of this appeal. And there's two arguments I've heard about how this building could harm the district. The first is that it will create pressure to demolish historic buildings in the district. And I don't believe that to be the case. The demolition of a contributing resource in any historic district in the city requires a Type 4 demolition review where City Council makes the final vote. And that's a really, really high bar to pass, as I'm sure you're aware. There was a building in my district on 17th where Gurney Eadlin requested the demolition of the building a couple years ago, and the council at the time unanimously voted to deny their application to demolish the building. And I certainly haven't heard anything to believe that City Council would act differently now. So if, you know, City Council doesn't believe that historic buildings should be demolished, I don't believe there's any reason to believe that that you would start approving the demolition of contributing historic buildings on Northwest 13th Avenue. And secondly, does the building do harm to the district just by its height and design? And, you know, I don't believe so. That's my own personal belief. I think it's actually a really beautifully designed building that fits the neighborhood really well. But more importantly, that was the view of the Historic Landmarks Commission as well. One active and one former member of which you just heard from. And, you know, that commission is comprised of very dedicated volunteers, all of them who are professionally involved in historic preservation. You know, they take huge amounts of time out of their professional lives to serve on the commission. And if they had issues with the building, you know, you can guarantee you'd be hearing about it, but you aren't. And in fact, as you know, as you just heard, they were very complimentary about the building. So I believe that it's something that really does fit the district and will be an asset and, you know, a dramatic improvement on the condition that's there at the moment. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And the last part of the process before council deliberations is rebuttal by the appellant. 5 minutes. Good afternoon again.
Whew. My name is John Hollister, for the record. And just a clarification, I am a voting member of the Planning and Development Committee that we're questioned, so I have been come involved. And yes, I did. I think it's a gorgeous building. I just think it's too tall. And I fear the same things that Jane Jacobs did in Greenwich Village. And with other stuff there is that. But that was done way back in 1959, so how would that really apply today? Also in the also in New York, I'll use them as a good model. West Village, they had no height limits in the West Village, zero height limits, and a 100-foot building was proposed, and it went to meetings, and they came with a council ruling that they had maximum 65 feet with a setback to go to 80 feet with a 20-foot setback. So they also said, you know, when they talk about the buildings being non-conforming, right now if 40% of the buildings in Manhattan could not be built today. So there are 40% of the buildings that are non-compliant in Manhattan. And Manhattan has so many historic buildings that they are trying to protect. We have so few in comparison. So just even the hinting of moving towards doing something, well, you know what? The developer will never do that. They'll never go that way. They'll do this. And that might be true for this particular developer or the developers that own the property, but if somebody buys it from New York or somebody buys it from somewhere else where it doesn't have the same attachment to this historic neighborhood, I don't think that still will apply. And then just the parts that just I just don't like to do, but they just have to be brought up. Is that the we talk about the two letters from the Pearl District, and you know one of them, and specifically the one for approval, they didn't follow the bylaws. There's nothing in the records that went to this was a committee never went to the neighborhood association board, but also the context of the letter was wrong. I'm going to read to you for the minutes that were approved at the meeting to support the building. Kofel moved to not write a letter. Sonny seconded. Dysart said we have to take a position. Gardner discussed that a vote was not taken the last time. August made a motion to write a letter in support since the committee had embraced the project previously and acknowledged the concern for height.
Excuse me, Mr. Hollister. I just want to interrupt because you've only got a couple of minutes
yep.
left.
Yep, this is pretty big.
Whether or not the Neighborhood Association doesn't make the decision on this, so whether
absolutely.
The letter was germane
yeah.
or not
yeah.
is not relevant to the appeal.
My thought that it is relevant to the appeal, and the reason why it's relevant to the appeal from a subjective standpoint, because this is all subjective, is that when the Pearl District Planning Committee, I think they're a valuable resource, and I think that they're organized to be able to be heard and to be considered strongly in decisions that go up, and we use them as that tool. And as as someone in the district that had someone say that it was approved for them to have acknowledged of concern for height, and then in the letter that they said that we are happy with the height and we love everything in the letter, that is not representing the individuals in the district, and that goes to Landmark, and that's part of Landmark's unanimous decision, because they're saying, well, if the district is in favor of it, then the district's in favor of it. Another group that got presented to was the AIA. AIA did approve it, but I went and spoke to the AIA and sat there, and because they love design, I love the design, and when I talked about height, two or three of them looked at me and says, oh my God, we never thought about height. So everything is subjective. And also with regards to the strength of these guidelines for the historic district, the Landmark Commission has been trying since 2009, and maybe I can make a little pitch for them, since 2009 to get funding and staffing to update the guidelines in the Northwest 13th, because what it says here is they're antiquated guidelines. The standards review are low, vague, and often not currently reflective of the neighborhood interests. Please consider allocating resources for the 13th Avenue Historic District. That was made in 2009 and again in 2011. So this is all subjectivity. When they say you're allowed up to the maximum height, it also says in documents that in a historic district, 100 feet maximum is not an entitlement. It's not an entitlement. Now we got 29 seconds. The height in foreign districts are allowances, not entitlements. Regardless of the number set in the zoning code, the overriding factor is compatibility with the historic district and the guidelines. So 13 seconds. That's what I got.
Great. Could I just ask one clarifying
yes.
question? So stipulating that height is not an absolute guideline, which of the other guidelines do you think is violated specifically with regard to disallowing the maximum height limit?
The height is a guideline, and it's a guideline. Both height compatibility is both in the state code and also in Height compatibility is also in the historic district, so it isn't. It's the difficult part, and the reason why Kurt went to get 75 feet, because this is a very frustrating process for developers. Because what can I build? I don't know what I can build. What can I build here? Well, we go do this type of thing. That's where they're trying to eliminate it and make it the same. So when he does 75 the whole way, and it gets changed to 100 on one end, that doesn't make any sense because there's no vacant lots. So why would it get changed to 100 if there's not going to be anything built? What would be the same thing of having to be 75 across because there's no buildings going up? And it would only be if they wanted to do something to those existing contributing buildings, and anything like that that gets raised has a potential of having a future conflict with that contributing asset. So this is my little 21 building. I want one friggin' spotted owl of buildings allowed in all the vast amount of Portland.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, colleagues. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming today. This has been a very interesting and on-the-point hearing, and I appreciate everybody who's spoken and shown up. I, as Commissioners Fish and Saltzmore will remember, was a big advocate for lowering height limits in the West End Plan and the Comprehensive Plan in this area. So I find myself in something of a quandary in that I firmly agree with the Landmarks Commission in this case that the building, despite being taller, is very compatible with the design guidelines, and I think is going to be a really I'm not sure that Mr. Fyfer said it was set a precedent. I'm not sure that's actually true, because the Design Commission, the Landmarks Commission, does rule on each one at a time. In this case, if it does set a precedent, I think it's a good precedent for the district.
So, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Commissioner. Could I ask legal counsel a clarifying question? Because there were many issues raised, and I'm sympathetic to many of the issues were raised. But for the purposes of this evidentiary hearing, what are our options, and what is the scope of our decision-making?
The scope of your decision is the approval criteria. So the design guidelines that are in place, you need to determine whether the facts that you've seen and that are in the record demonstrate whether the proposal meets or does not meet the historic design guidelines. I think there's been some discussion of the neighborhood association and whether their recommendation is relevant. There is no criterion that says you must get a letter from the neighborhood association. So, you know, it's up to you whether the information in those letters is relevant or not to the criteria. And I have not read those letters, so I don't know. But, I mean, generally speaking, just the fact that there is or is not a neighborhood association letter is not relevant. One of the other items I heard is the Central City 2035 plan. Those are not, whatever is going to happen when that comes to council is not relevant to the decision. Based on the criteria. The state land use laws and our code require that you do it on the criteria that are in place at the time they apply and have a complete application. So I don't know if there were other issues you wanted me to address.
I'd like to ask staff a specific question with regard to the height guidelines. So we heard testimony about the 100-foot height guideline. Could you offer some clarification? My understanding is that is not an absolute, but could you explain in what circumstances that is the case?
So the guideline was the text about 2 to 6 floors and median and maximum. The 100 feet is in the zoning code. That's the maximum that is allowed. So there's the base zone, which allows for 100 feet, or the zoning code language. And then above that is the guideline, which makes no specific statement about an exact footage.
So reconcile the two for me. You have the base zoning 100 feet by right. You have the 100-foot guideline, which is, as the pirate movie says, a guideline. Reconcile those two for me.
Well, Tim, do you want to? The 100 feet isn't from the guideline. The 2 to 6 stories is from the guideline. So the 100 feet is the entitlement. The two to six floors.
To be clear, then,
Yeah.
You are interpreting code as the 100-foot is an entitlement by right.
No, Tim Herron, I wouldn't say that. I'd say it gives us a bench. It gives us a hard line to kind of look forward to. I was in some of those earlier conversations when the team was considering 140 feet. And to be clear, there's actually bonus incentives up to 175 feet. Staff's direction very early on was, let's keep it under 100, and if we need to have a place to start, 75 could be one. I think the important point that Mike's raising right now is relative to the guidelines, it's 2 to 6 stories. Stories is definable. There are 100-foot tall, 4-story buildings. You know, this is a 6-story building with a penthouse on top of it. And it reads from the street about 86 feet. And so I think it's about feeling, it's about scale, it's about massing. And that's a lot of where the Landmarks Commission made their findings for this case and Mike wrote in his staff report. So hopefully that's helpful in dispelling this idea of 2 to 6 stories. Doesn't mean it's 20 feet or 60 feet. Warehouse architecture often has much taller floor plates and could get you to 100 feet.
And just so I understand, the 100 feet is the base, plus there's the opportunity for bonus. And it's my understanding from the testimony that this project includes a substantial number of bonus features. Is that correct?
It has one bonus that allows for a little more FAR.
Okay.
It has a bike room bonus.
Were there others?
There's not another bonus that's being used to extend the height. They stayed under the allowed height.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
So the 100 feet is an allowance, and then in another section of the code, that's where the discretionary guideline is.
Tim, why do we have to wait till 2035 to look at the question of whether the bonus, we have the right bonus scheme?
This has to get acknowledged through the...
Yeah, I mean, it's not implemented yet.
Right.
And it's in the future.
But we could address that. We could, if we wanted, speed up the review of that issue, couldn't we?
That's probably better suited for a Bureau of Planning Sustainability person. I'm just the BDS planner.
Tell us why we can't do that. But that's not germane to this issue because we have to use the guidelines that are in place today.
I understand. But the issue was raised, and I think the bonus system should be tightened up. I think we can have that as a separate conversation.
I think it is being reviewed as part of the Central City 2035 right. process.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Just coming very shortly.
Yep.
So, Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Commissioner Fish, you bet.
I'm going to join with Commissioner Fritz on this one for a couple of reasons. We have a unanimous recommendation of the Landmarks Commission. Mr. Hollister, who I have to say is a first-time appellant, has done a masterful job of representing his view in this proceeding. But even the appellant has said that he, quote, loves the design. And I think someone else earlier said that it is a high-quality infill. I'll go further. I think in the 9 years that I've served on this body, I don't know that I've seen a more compatible – take height out for a second. I don't think I've seen a design that has more historical compatibility than this. And frankly, there were a number of photographs we saw today that made it almost – I kept having to remind myself what building were we looking at, because I forgot which side of the street was on because it was so beautifully blended in. I actually think that if we do deny the appeal and uphold the commission's recommendation – I believe we're actually setting the bar very high in terms of future precedent. Because the question that will be asked is, in addition to height, have you gone the extra mile with materials, design, windows, brick, all the various elements in this particular building that has, I think, all of us united in complimenting the design team in the design they presented. The question of height, for me, comes down to 76 feet versus 86 feet. And the reason I say that is that I think in adding the penthouse and then setting it back, I think that actually should be an approach in the future that we encourage, because it is not, in fact, visible from the sidewalk. It does activate the space in an interesting way, and I would hate to see that debited against the overall height that is awarded the developer. So for me, it's an interesting 76 feet and 86 feet. And under the circumstances, because of the extraordinary effort made to make this compatible with the historical fabric, I think the applicant has earned the extra 10 feet. And after all, 86 feet is still within the guidelines. I do want to revisit the bonus system, though. I'm not entirely comfortable with the idea that very modest changes could result in potentially above 100 feet, which I think would be a mistake. So I'm going to join with Commissioner Fritz on this.
So we have a couple of options, and I'd ask legal counsel, and then I forgot because I was so engaged in your answer on my other question. So we can close the record. We can make a decision. We could continue the hearing. We could continue the hearing and keep the record open. We could continue the hearing and keep the record closed.
May I recognize the distinguished lady
Commissioner
from Southwest
Fritz.
Portland for a motion.
So I just moved to deny the appeal and uphold the findings of the Landmarks Commission.
Second that.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Fish. Commissioner Udaly, did you have
Commissioner
a comment?
Udaly seconded it ahead of me.
He always beats me.
No, she got there first.
Okay, so I'll retract that. We had a motion from Commissioner Fritz. We had a second from Commissioner Udaly. And to be clear, the motion was to deny the appeal of John Hollister against the Portland Historic Landmark Commission's Historic Resource Review Decision of Approval with Conditions in the River District Subdistrict of Central City Plan District for construction of a six-story office building with a penthouse and three-story underground garage at Northwest Gleason and Northwest 13th Avenue. Did I get that approximately correct?
With one small modification.
Please.
This would be a tentative vote today. As we had an evidentiary hearing, we would want to come back for additional findings. And then also to clarify that the record, you would want to close the evidentiary record.
We have the option to close the evidentiary record. That would be my recommendation. However, legal counsel, I'd like to ask for one slight modification. There were a number of people who testified today who were not able to complete their testimony, but they had written testimony. Am I allowed to collect the remainder of that written testimony for people who are here today?
Right now, before closing the evidentiary?
If they were so willing to submit it to the council clerk, would
that
be
within... I would
do that
before you close the evidentiary record today.
Okay, so
yes.
If there were people here today who testified who did not get to complete their testimony, who can submit written testimony to the council clerk, I would be more than interested in reading those materials. And so...
So, Mayor, why don't we just keep the record open until 5 p.m.? And take a vote.
The legal counsel's squirming.
Well, you're taking a tentative vote based on the evidence you have in front of you. If
Correct.
You're going to take more evidence, then you probably shouldn't be taking a tentative vote. And at this point, there's
okay,
a motion
that, okay,
and a
so I'm greatly complicating things.
Yeah,
sorry.
Let's move to the vote, Mayor.
Okay, very good. Further conversation before I call the roll. Call the roll.
Fish?
There was a reference earlier in this hearing to the conduct that occurred this morning at our morning session, a session that was repeatedly disrupted by people that came not to reason with the council, really to be heard in any meaningful way, but to just obstruct. And we had to take a number of breaks, and it was very disheartening to all of us. Profanity, horrible things said, really for no particular purpose. By contrast, this afternoon, to me, represents the best of Portland. And I say that, I've said that on a number of occasions on these land use, these kinds of appeals, quasi-judicial, because I truly believe they bring out the best in our community. This has been a very thoughtful hearing. In all the years I've served on this body, I can tell you without exception, my colleagues come to these proceedings with an open mind, listening to the testimony, and then trying to work through what they've heard and apply the law. I can't think of an exception to that. Reasonable people can disagree on these because there's a discretionary standard that we're applying. But I want to compliment the appellant for the case that he made and the arguments he made. And I want to compliment the developer in this case, who I think has proposed a building that will be a tremendous addition to this historic district. And as I said earlier, I think we're actually, because of the all the attention paid to making this building compatible with all the other standards that are apply, all the other criteria, I think we're setting the bar very high for future development. Reasonable people can disagree about the difference between 76 feet and 86 feet, but we will be vigilant in looking at height going forward because I think the point has been made that height is important to the overall feel of our city. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I do believe this building, as proposed, does blend in well with the neighborhood. The height is well with below the guideline. And I do think that the 13th Avenue Historical District is not going to see other properties redevelop because of this building itself. And I think as somebody, I think, from the Pearl District testified, all the buildings on the 13th Avenue Historic District are either historic resources or contributing resources. So to demolish them requires a Type 4 review, which is the City Council itself reviewing it. And I believe I was somebody who actually authored that with Mayor Vera Katz some years ago. So we don't take demolitions very lightly, and we wouldn't, particularly in the 13th Avenue Historic District. So I'm not worried about the precedential value here. And I do think, as I said, it seems to be a very well-designed, high-quality building, and the height seems well within the guideline, and therefore I also support this and vote aye.
You, Daly?
I think a lot of longtime Portlanders are experiencing or shell-shocked right now at the rate of change in our city, and I certainly am shocked by the number of new buildings that seem that I would consider a travesty of good taste and design that are utterly out of character and scale with their neighborhoods. But I believe the applicant here has gone above and beyond to create a building that is compatible with the neighborhood and will add to it. There may be issues around zoning and FIR and whatnot that we need to revisit, but that this is not the time or place for that. So I vote aye.
Fritz.
I think Commissioner Fish is catching my enthusiasm for land use review, so this is very encouraging.
It's rubbed off.
Thank you for being here. And what happens with land use decisions, as Commissioner Fish said, they're discretionary decisions. Reasonable people can disagree. And so almost by definition, you win some, you lose some. I appreciate Patricia Gardner reminding us that we did get Commissioner Fish and Saltzman and I did recommend modifying the bonus provisions, and that, I believe, is coming back next week. So if you don't like the rules by which this got approved, come back next week, because there's several other decisions that are going to be coming up for the rest of this year about height in the downtown area, about height on the waterfront. Some of those decisions I won in the preliminary rounds and some I didn't, but I've now got two new colleagues, so we can have another bash at it. So please stay engaged, and as was invited, go to the Neighbourhood Association, participate, because this is really a place where this place in particular, City Hall, but also the City of Portland, is where you can make a difference, an individual can make a difference. And again, I thank the appellant for highlighting the issues, which really sets us up nicely for next week for that discussion. So thank you very much. Aye.
Wheeler.
Oh, one more thing. Sorry. I did just want to say Mike Gashard and Tim Herron in the Development Services Bureau, thank you. Excellent work.
Wheeler.
So by the time these issues come to us, we are fairly narrowly constrained in terms of the way we frame the decision that we make. It's an evidentiary hearing, and as you heard, it is about the guidelines and the interpretation of the guidelines. I was actually very interested in some of the other questions that were raised that, frankly, are not part of my decision-making process with regard to this evidentiary hearing. I think the policy questions that were raised are paramount, including the preservation of historic assets in this community. If we lose them, I think it is to the peril of this community. We don't want to be like every other city in America. We have our own history, our own traditions, and our built environment and our architecture reflect those histories and traditions, and we dare not lose them. I think that the process questions that were raised are paramount as well. And it's always disappointing for me to have to come to this pointy end of the conversation and have people feel that they were disrespected or their views weren't heard or the process didn't reflect the input and the considerations of the community. That's also really important. So, you know, these policy issues, these process issues, they are paramount and they are important. But with regard to the evidentiary hearing today, I think it is clear-cut that the appeal, in my opinion, based on the vast preponderance of the evidence, the appeal should be not denied. John, I want to thank you. I think you have gone the 9 yards and then some on your own, and frankly, I sort of wonder why you were out there alone. And I wonder, you know, I'm going to be thinking, okay, how did it come to be that there was one guy initially sort of going through this process, attending these meetings? It feels like it should be broader than that. So I look forward to that conversation with you. I want to thank staff. I think they did a great job of laying this out and answering my myriads of questions and helping me understand it. I want to thank everybody who took 2 hours out of their busy day to come in here and be heard. I'm truly appreciative of that. I always feel grateful to be the mayor of a city where this kind of dialogue takes place. So I will vote aye. The motion carries. The appeal is denied.
And so we need to set this for adoption of
so,
findings.
So can we set a date, please?
We believe that July 5th is available, and we have...
Just the mayor is gone, or the 12th, and everybody's here.
Are we on the clock?
No, we're not on the clock. But the parties have... staff has said they could meet the 5th, but if you want to do the 12th, that's okay with everybody as well.
Colleagues,
is that in the morning?
It'll be a morning, right.
Yes, because I'm not here in the afternoon of the 12th.
Does the applicant care either way? It sounds like we have a full sounds like we have a full house on the 12th.
So we've taken our tentative vote. We will then carry this over to the 12th of July. That is the consensus.
Yeah, do you
correct?
Need time? Time certain. Okay, yeah, July 12th, it'll be 10:20 a.m.
July 12th, 10:20 a.m., time certain. July 12th, 10:20 a.m., time certain, for those of you who'd like to come back and do this some more.
Except that there's no testimony.
Right, no testimony. The record is closed. Very good. Thank you, everybody. So with that, we will move to item 6.